travel to any place in the world. Rapid transportation for disaster relief. Efficient means for trade. The world would be vastly different had it not been for the aviation revolution. In recognition of National Aviation Day observed in the United States, we celebrate the achievements of two brilliant brothers who are at the forefront of flight engineering.
The logical place to start with anything about airplanes for us is the Wright brothers.
Wilbur Wright was born on April 16, 1867, and 6 years later, Orville was born on August 19th. They had two elder brothers and a younger sister. Their parents, Milton and Susan Wright, fostered their love for learning and exploring. Mrs. Wright was very handy and showed her children how to use tools and fix things. As a bishop in the United Brethren Church, Mr. Wright instilled in them a good work ethic. Later on, Orville would recall the special advantages of his upbringing, saying, "We were lucky enough to grow up in a home environment where there was always much encouragement for children to pursue intellectual interests, to investigate whatever aroused their curiosity." One day, upon returning from a short journey, Milton Wright brought home a gift for his youngest sons. It was a toy helicopter powered by a rubber band, invented by aeronautical pioneer Alphonse Pinault. The boys were fascinated and soon began making toy helicopters of their own. Many years later, they would credit this small gift with kindling their love of flying. The Wright family moved to Dayton, Ohio in 1884. Soon afterwards, Mrs. Wright contracted tuberculosis. Although Wilbur had just graduated from high school and was planning on attending Yale University, he chose to stay home and care for his ailing mother. He joined Orville, who had opened a printing business, and the pair resourcefully made the printing press out of various recycled materials. Also around that time, more and more people were starting to ride bicycles, including the Wright brothers. The mechanically gifted duo would race other cyclists and repair bikes.
Of course, being inveterate tinkerers with mechanics, they had improved the design of bicycles. So they had a very successful bicycle shop.
The Wright brothers had even loftier goals in mind. The 1890s was an exciting era in the development of human-controlled flight. Smithsonian Institution Secretary Samuel Langley of the U.S. successfully flew an unmanned steam-powered model aircraft. British aeronaut Percy Pilcher was able to fly an unpowered glider for up to 250 meters.
There was a lot of work that was done initially. A lot of Europeans were actually doing it, but they weren't being very successful. And then we got these two brothers from Dayton, Ohio, who were fascinated with mechanics. And they were really intrigued with the idea of flying.
The brothers sent a request to the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C. for all the available information on aeronautics. They soon realized that the real challenge was not so much to put a craft in the air, but to control it once in flight. Orville and Wilbur decided to learn from the best and spent many hours studying birds in flight. They observed that birds change the angle at the tip of their wings, which allows them to bank or lean into a turn, a skill they recognized as being similar to how a person would operate a bicycle. One day, by chance, as Wilbur was idly twisting a long box in their shop, they discovered wing warping, a method of arching the wingtips to control an aircraft's rolling motion and balance. To prove their ideas were sound, the brothers experimented on kites controlled by string.
They had nothing to go on except their own ideas, and they were eminently successful with them, as we know. It was the beginning, and a very good beginning.
Next, the brothers advanced to building gliders that could carry individuals. They decided to work with a double deck of wings based on the experiments of Octave Chanut, a good friend and fellow aviation pioneer. Their experimentations were also inspired by the work of English engineer Sir George Cayley, Otto Lilienthal, the glider king from Germany, and Italian polymath Leonardo da Vinci.
They learned about the little they knew at the time about aeronautics. And surprise, surprise, 1903, they built traction that looked like this.
From 1900 to 1903, they built a series of increasingly complicated gliders, testing their theories and going back to the shop to adapt their designs.
A plane flies because of the air over the wings. It creates what's called a pressure differential, whereby there's less pressure up top and it creates a lift. More pressure on the bottom pushes up, and that's why any plane flies.
Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. Models of Success will be right back to further discuss the ingenuity of the Wright brothers.
They were quiet engineers. They were not very flamboyant people at all. These were inveterate tinkerers, and they were just enjoying themselves, and this was their passion.
Welcome back to Models of Success. On the occasion of National Aviation Day, we are featuring the Wright brothers and their remarkable contribution to the world of airplanes. Although they lived in Dayton, Ohio, Orville and Wilbur Wright searched far and wide to find the most suitable place to do their test flights.
So they found out where the windiest place was and the best place to do their test flights after they built it. So they went down to Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, and that's where they flew.
They continuously refined their work with meticulous experiments using a wind tunnel they had designed and built.
This is the genesis. My humble opinion is that this is where it all started. This was theoretical for them. And they worked at it until they got a good, solid number, and those numbers work even today. It was made from what we suspect to be fruit crates, boxes that apples came in, and the purpose it served was to scheme out for them the performance numbers in the propellers. The Model B was the first successful airplane to fly under its own power. And those propeller numbers were schemed and calculated from this box. And this is over 100 years old. And for me, part of the magic is that this bell went from a flat piece of material to square to round inside of 1 foot. And this was all done at the hands of a craftsman, no computer involved, and no super hydraulic tools or any of the magic stuff that the aerospace industry has to offer today. When he was done with the rivets and the joints, he put lead in there to smooth the airflow further. NASA did a study on the propeller and found it to be 80% effective. A brand new propeller today from the factory is only 90% effective. So these guys were not only good, they were super good, and the work that they put in holds up today.
By 1903, it was time to progress to powered flight. The Wright brothers looked for an engine to power their craft, but could not find any that were capable.
The problem was that the internal combustion engines that were available to them at the time were too heavy. The horsepower was too little, the weight too much. So these people designed and built their own internal combustion engine.
Wilbur and Orville returned to Kitty Hawk with their new flyer. After a couple of unsuccessful attempts, finally on December 17, 1903, the Wright brothers achieved powered, sustained human flight.
Into the ceiling, we have the Wright flyer. What's the actual size of the airplane?
The wings were made of cloth. With this little teeny tiny engine there, that's smaller than anything you've got in any car around, because they had to keep it light. And Orville actually flew, and he was laying down on the plane. They didn't even have a seat in it.
Yes.
And he was helping to turn it right or left by moving his hips.
Oh, yeah.
And they flew for a grand total of 12 seconds, and they went 120 feet. They had no landing gear, which I find astounding. No landing gear.
Going up and no idea how to come down.
And no idea how to fly. No idea how to fly. I mean, today any pilot takes huge hours and hours and hours. Your typical captain on a large airliner has thousands of hours. These are people who had no flying lessons, zero. Didn't even know that there was a science to flying. And they went up. These two American brothers had succeeded where all of these European scientists for years had been trying and couldn't do it. And they did the first powered heavier-than-air flight.
Having proved it was possible, Wilbur and Orville Wright returned to Dayton and focused all their energy on developing a commercially viable airplane. Two flyers were built, incorporating the new ideas based on their growing experience in manned, powered flight. They created an airfield at Huffman Prairie outside of Dayton and proceeded to record better and better flights. By 1906, Wilbur and Orville were looking for customers to purchase their Wright flyers. Due to their desire for privacy, few had seen the flyers, and fewer still had seen them fly.
Not much was known about it at the time. The newspapers did not pick it up as a huge, tremendous achievement, even though it was. People at that time felt that flying was impossible. So the people at the time did not believe that they had done it. And so they went back, they built another aircraft, they came back, they actually flew that. And after a while, everybody actually believed that they had done it.
By late summer in 1908, the Wright brothers had two clients, the United States and a group of businessmen in France. Orville stayed in the United States while Wilbur went to France to demonstrate their invention. On August 8, 1908, Wilbur Wright made the first public exhibition of flying. Overnight, Wilbur and Orville achieved international fame, becoming heroes around the world, with a legacy still revered to this day.
And here we are today with airplanes that, except for some external structure changes, don't look a whole lot different from what the Wright brothers put together that very first time.
We thank Lieutenant Joseph Wisniewski and Miss Dorothy Buchanan for taking the time to share their insight on the Wright brothers. Their accomplishments were indeed tremendous. As Bill Gates, CEO of Microsoft Corporation, stated, the Wright brothers created the single greatest cultural force since the invention of writing. The airplane became the first World Wide Web, bringing people, languages, ideas, and values together. Wondrous viewers, thank you for joining us today for Models of Success. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Vegetarianism, The Noble Way of Living, coming up next after Noteworthy News. May your hearts soar in heaven's everlasting light and love.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/MOS.